This podcast of NPR's On Point with Tom Ashbrook is a production of WBUR Boston.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. In 1996, a musical hit Broadway that is still playing the Great White Way almost 10 years later. It was called Rent. It was a rock opera loosely based on Puccini's La Boheme. The setting was New York City, 1989. The props were sex, drugs, AIDS, poverty, and death. The themes were love, joy, youthful yearning, and life. Rent always drew a line between those who winced at its melodrama and those who soared with its passion. Now it's out in movie theaters, directed by the man who took Harry Potter to film and directed Home Alone, and it's still working up the crowd. Up next on Point, director Chris Columbus and the music and cultural history of Rent. We're talking this hour about the life and times of the rock opera Rent, the Broadway smash, now come to film. Sex, drug, AIDS, youth, coming of age, it's all there, the soundtrack of Broadway's urban 90s, now in cinema. We're joined in this hour by Chris Columbus, director of Home Alone, Mrs. Doubtfire, and the first two Harry Potter films. He's director of the film adaptation of Rent. Also with us from Miami, Florida, Evelyn McDonald, pop culture writer at the Miami Herald, former writer at the Village Voice. She wrote the sort of backstory of Rent that accompanied its libretto in the book Rent, Vocal Selections. Nathan's calling right now from Ackley, Iowa. Hi, Nathan, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm so glad I got through. What I want to say is hello, Chris. I am so, so happy that you did this film. I have seen Rent 32 times on Broadway.
Wow.
And I have seen it, I've seen your movie twice. And
excellent.
I'm a complete Rent head. And it is my all-time favorite musical. And I think you did a marvelously fabulous job. I myself am a gay teen. And I am so happy that just these, everything got brought out to the front. It was amazing. And, I mean, Rent is one of those musicals, which I think is a true musical. You can listen to just the music of it and completely understand the story. And you use that music and totally put it, oh, I'm so happy that you...
Nathan, I've got to ask you 32 times. It's absolutely mind-boggling. What keeps you coming back again and again and again and again to Rent?
It's great. I can't understand it. It's like I am in love with this musical. It tells a humongous part of me. And, I mean, it's just the music is extraordinary, and you can hear it by all the different people. I mean, Idina Menzel is an extraordinary, extraordinary actress. I mean, I loved her in Wicked, too, and her voice held me the first time when I saw it on Broadway in New York. I mean, that was the most magical experience of my life.
Nathan, let me ask you, our line is a little rough, but did I hear you say that you were a gay teen? And did I get that right? And was this an affirming show for you coming from that perspective?
It was. I'm sorry, I'm on my cell phone. It was affirming to me. It showed me that there are other people like me, that there are people who share my liberal views. There are people who, you know, and it's okay to be who you are. It was at a time in my life when I was questioning who I really was. And Rent really showed me it's okay to be who you are.
Yeah, we got it, and we hear it loud and clear from Ackley, Iowa. That's a lot of trips to Broadway. It'll be easier now that it's in the cinema, and one day maybe on cable. Nathan, thank you very much for your call.
For taking my call. Have a great day.
Yeah, Evelyn McDonald, Chris, there's a big compliment to you. And Evelyn McDonald, let me ask you, is that the voice of the Rent head right there? Is that the attitude,
that
the tone?
I almost wonder if that was an actor playing a Rent head. It was so to the point, but also to the point of how important this and how deeply it touches people. It's a very emotional film. It's an emotional journey. I sob every time I see it. I sob during the film, and I think it really touches people to a core, and I think that's why they come back and come back.
Mm. Chris Columbus, let me ask you. A.O. Scott at the New York Times is out again talking about this. It was Frank Rich last time around. Now with the movie, it's A.O. Scott saying, Rent is one of those shows that divides the world sort of into us and them, people who really resonate to it and those who don't. He says, you know, sort of drop your cynicism, drop your jaundiced side at the door, just go in and enjoy this, and you'll have a great time with the joy. On the other hand, you know, there are people who just can't stand it. I'm reading here Karina Chicano in the Los Angeles Times says Rent is commodified faux bohemia on a platter, eliciting the same kind of numbing soul sadness as children's beauty pageants, tiny dogs in expensive boots, Mahatma Gandhi in Apple ads. There's the other side, faux bohemia, soul sadness. Where do you think that response comes from, Chris?
I think she's probably never spent much time in Manhattan. But I personally, it's what Jonathan, from what I know from spending a lot of time with Jonathan's family, Jonathan always liked a good debate. And Rent, when it was a show, stirred up a bit of controversy. And the film is doing the same thing. Some people just aren't going to respond to it. And that's fine. You know, for me, it's the people who really... fall in love with it, and that's thankfully is a majority of the people. People really seem to be swept away with its emotion. You take this kid in Iowa who has just seen the show 35 times, and it speaks to him. That he's not feeling that this is not authentic. This place, this show, originated from a place of authenticity and a reality, a place that Jonathan knew very well. So this is not something that was invented. This is something that Jonathan lived. These are based on people. These characters are based on people that he knew. And these songs, I defy anyone to doubt the power of this music or the power of this particular cast. So the Los Angeles Times piece is interesting. It's a bit of fluff as far as I'm concerned, but I'll go with the New York Times any day of the week.
Let's take another call. Donald's calling from Cambridge, Massachusetts. Hi, Donald. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. And Jonathan, John, he was to me, and I were good friends in high school. We were good musical friends.
Where was that, Donald?
In White Plains. John graduated in 79, and I graduated in 1980.
North of New York, yeah.
And, I just wanted to speak a little bit to the musical side of things, which often gets overlooked with Rent. One thing people don't really know much about John was he was a brilliant musical theater actor. He played, we had a very vibrant musical theater scene at that high school, and he played all the comic leads in the musicals, and he and I used to, sneak backstage and play our music for each other.
Did it surprise you when he ended up, sadly, after his death, with this smash hit on Broadway?
Oh, it was a tragedy I can't even... to speak to. It took me a couple of years just to see the show ourselves. The point being that a couple of our close colleagues in high school were some of the first people to die from AIDS. This was before anyone knew what AIDS was, of course. And my overwhelming feeling after seeing the show is, and having known John so close musically, is that he would have reworked that show and retinkered and refined it and made it a much better show.
In what direction, Donald, do you think he might have taken it if he had lived?
I think he would have edited it, so to speak. I think it's a little bit of, there's a lot of genres. He tried to throw in everything, and I think he would have honed it down and made it a more perfect show. And so I suppose people love the kind of atmosphere that exudes anyway, which is a little bit of everything but the kitchen sink.
Yeah, and a lot of grit from the East Village in those days. Donald, it's good to hear that report direct from Jonathan Larson's life. Thank you very much for that call. Chris Columbus, what about the challenge of taking this from the stage to film? Americans are always, have been nudgy sometimes about suddenly having actors break into song or only singing in film. You've introduced more dialogue in the film version, though not very much, but more than there was on stage. How did you look at that challenge?
I felt that people were asking me at the time, how are you going to get into the device of people singing? Seasons of Love originally still opens the second act of the show. And for me, it was a way... after intermission in the show, that I was lulled back into a sense of security and warmth, and I just felt good to hear Seasons of Love at the beginning of that second act, and I felt as if I would get comfortable and enjoy the second act of the show. So, in a sense, that's what we wanted to tell the film-going audience. We used Seasons of Love as the opening credit sequence in order to get the cinematic audience to relax. It's our way of saying, okay, you're going to see a musical. People are going to be singing. This has been going on since the Jazz Singer, so it's okay people to sing. And actually, most teenagers, most people in college have lived with MTV for the past 20 years, so they're very, very accustomed to people breaking into song. They see it all the time. So There's a gentle, elegant way to do it, which is what we hope to achieve. And then there is a sort of a sillier way to break into song. And if you abruptly break into song, actually on film, it gets a little uncomfortable and awkward, and that's what you have to avoid.
Wilson Germain Heredia, wonderful to have you. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me on air. Thank you, Tom.
And I understand it's your birthday today. Happy birthday, sir.
Yes, it is. I'm 12 years old.
Congratulations. You are, by almost every reviewer's account, kind of the heart and soul of the joy sunbeam that goes through this show. I had never seen it on Broadway. I saw the film yesterday, and I've got to say, oh my God, I've never seen a drag queen who could kind of bring on the joy the way you do. It's a beautiful, beautiful performance. What was your inspiration for this?
Thank you very much. I think back in the 80s, I used to club a lot in New York City, and I met a lot of angels in my life. And so I just, the angel that you see on screen and the angel that you would see on stage is basically a composite of all those people that I've met in my life. And it was, that essentially was, and also, believe it or not, a little bit of my mother in there too, as well.
I absolutely believe it. I mean, you've got a tremendous physical beauty, but you bring this kind of exuding joy at the same time. I never entirely understand the acting craft around this. Are you that joyful in real life, Wilson?
I'm just a normal person. Yeah, I can be joyful. Today I have a cold, and I'm still smiling.
A birthday cold.
I'm still smiling. I'm just like any other cat, you know. When things go bad, I feel sad. When things go well, I'm happy, and I try to keep my chin up. If anything, I have to say, playing the character has taught me to be more joyful and to really be more appreciative of the things that are around me. And the people that are around me. So
when you were first playing this cross-dressing drag queen on Broadway, was that considered, you know, outrageous? Did you get pushback on it culturally? Was there kind of conservative pushback saying this is wrong, wrong, wrong? Or were you embraced from the start? How'd it go?
I think people embraced me immediately. If anything, people didn't. People assumed that that's what I was in real life because I guess I played the character so well. And then, to their surprise, it was really the first time that I've been in heels and in drag.
you wore them well.
Yeah, it was a surprise to me as well.
That's terrific.
I accepted the challenge, and people, the people that actually really do know me, I guess they applauded me for taking up the challenge of playing a character like that.
Chris Columbus, you directed all this. What was it like to bring two new characters into the midst of a cast that had been together so tight for so long?
Well, I was, first of all, happy birthday, Wilson. That's
Thank
great.
You very much, Chris.
It's great
doing,
to talk
baby?
To you. I'm doing great, man. It was great. I was a little concerned. As I said earlier, there was a real intense bond, a real complex bond between these original cast members. But that actually, the minute Tracy and Rosario came into the picture, the cast members immediately embraced them. They welcomed them into the fold. And I think probably a big part of that was because Tracy and Rosario are so incredibly talented. Mm-hmm. And I think it was after the first day of rehearsal, Taye Diggs said to me, feels like they've been here forever. And I took that as a real compliment to those two.
Of course, Rosario Dawson plays the hot stripper, or exotic dancer, I should say, in the film version. But you still got that PG-13 rating, Chris.
I'll tell you something. It was a rarity, and I have to thank the Academy, the MPAA, because they truly we got an R rating originally, and they asked me to cut several things, which I just couldn't cut because I felt I'd kill the integrity of the piece, and I cut a few words, and they came back and said, "We'll give you a PG-13 because we feel that the themes in this picture are important." Too important that kids age 13 and up need to see this picture. And I was, it was very flattering, and it was great for the film because the people who were responding to it, those kids are real. Those are the kids who are going again and again and again.
That's a gift for a filmmaker to come in under that wire. Let's take a call. Steve is calling from Bristol, Rhode Island. Hi, Steve. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for letting me on.
Yeah.
I wanted to let you know that I had an experience with my wife. When we saw Rent for the first time in London, just after it had opened in London, And we went because it was a hot ticket, and we thought we'd like to see a show that everyone's going to see. And we had no idea of how it would affect us. My wife had terminal cancer at the time. And the message that came through in the song La Vie Bohème, that people were living with and not dying from disease, it became it was a theme already for us, and we were trying to live as fully as we could. And suddenly we saw a show with such incredible energy and emotion that reinforced something that she was trying to do with her life and I was trying to do with her. And before we left London, we had the soundtrack, and it became sort of a soundtrack to our home for the last few years of my wife's life.
Oh, we can hear just how that would have played. Good Lord. But it buoyed her up, you say. It lifted her.
Absolutely. And the performances themselves, which blew us away. We didn't know what we were to expect when we went in to see that show. And then Mimi showed up, Angel showed up. Said, oh, my God, we're witnessing something extraordinary here. And between the quality of the performance, the music, and the message, it became part of our life.
Still, Steve, Angel, Wilson Jermaine Heredia is on the line with you right now. Having gone through that experience, what would you want to say to him? What would your wife want to say to him if she'd lived?
Let me speak for my wife here. Wilson, it's a pleasure to be able to talk to you directly like this.
Pleasure.
That character alone was so invigorating to show the kind of joy and hope, too. There's a message of hope, I think, in the character, that not so much that the disease will be conquered, but that life can be lived fully and with exuberance, even in the midst of dealing with the disease. And I appreciate what you've brought to this show, and I'm looking forward to seeing the film. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm sure that performance will also reinforce what makes it so important to me.
Oh, fantastic. But just know also that Jonathan really wrote about real people, and I think maybe the reason that you were affected so deeply by these characters, it's because it came from a real place. So I'm so glad that it's helped you in that way.
Steve, thank you very much for sharing a hard story, but an inspiring one at the same time. Thank you for your call. Wilson, what about your character? Of course, Angel in the film, in the show, I guess everyone knows, but eventually dies of AIDS. But there's such a burst of joy from this character in advance of that. As an actor, knowing that your character is going to die,
right.
How does it fuel the joy part of the equation?
Well, I had a backstory. Even when I was doing the show on Broadway, I created a backstory for Angel. And the backstory is that when he discovered that he was HIV positive, that he's already lived his life he's already done as much as he could in his life, and he felt that his life before was horrible. And I created this runaway kind of theme in my mind, and so by the time that he gets to New York, he figures like, you know, well, I can't change this. I might as well just live every single moment to the fullest, because I've gotten this far in life, and who knows how many moments I have left. So it might as well be the best. I might as well go out smiling.
And you really turn that light on, and we all see it. Wilson Jermaine Heredia in Los Angeles. I know we just have you for another minute. What's it like to have a great big show like this early in one's career? How does it fit in to the rest of your life when Rent just keeps going and going and going?
Well, the funny thing is that by the time that we were on Broadway, it didn't feel like it was early in my career, because I was performing ever since I was 13.
Okay, so you started very early, yeah?
But I feel that Rent is that gift that keeps on giving. For some reason, it just keeps on and enriching my life in every single way. This the musical, the film, everything about it has changed my life in every single aspect for the in the positive way. Absolutely. So And career-wise, I mean, I hope definitely that it opens a whole lot more doors, and I have an opportunity to try other characters. Because I can tell you that though I love this character, I'm absolutely done.
I bet
it's
you
been
are.
A 10-year trip,
yeah.
And I am done. I'm hanging up the heel.
Well, it was great while you wore them, and we thank you for a tremendous performance in the film and on stage, Wilson Germain Heredia. Thanks so much for joining us from L.A.
Thank you very much.
Evelyn McDonald, very quickly, what about the others in the original cast? Taye Diggs ended up marrying Irdina, as I recall.
Yeah, and they met on plane Rent. I can actually, you know, remember first seeing them backstage at the New York Theater Workshop, and I guess that was when the flirtation had just started. So the romances depicted in the show came true to a degree.
Evelyn McDonald at the Miami Herald, wonderful to have you with us. Thank you so much for joining us this hour.
Sure, thank you.
And Chris Columbus, director of Home Alone, Mrs. Doubtfire, the first two Harry Potter films, and now the film adaptation of Rent. Chris Columbus, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. Thanks.
We'll go out with Seasons of Love from Rent.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR, National Public Radio.